Well, this third Sunday of Easter, I would like to talk about two things that perhaps all of us can relate about. First is injustice and suffering. Injustice and suffering in light of the Paschal mystery and the Eucharist. In recent days, I have stumbled across a short Turkish movie named Miracle in Cell Number 7. Without giving too much details into the movie itself, it is about a man with special need being wrongly accused for the crime of murdering a young girl that he didn't actually do. But since he didn't have the intellectual capacity to defend himself, he was wrongly framed out of the anger and the desire of the father, who is a high-ranking official, to demand justice for his daughter. The irony here that even though the father demanded justice, he was imposing injustice upon someone else who couldn't defend himself. So ultimately, he was set for the death sentence, and at the last moment, someone was willing to exchange his own life in order to save this man, so that this man could be with his young daughter. It's what a very powerful, personal and intimate act of exchanging one life for someone who is innocent, who was unjustly condemned. And we see this too at Christians, especially when we contemplate and reflect on the Paschal mystery. Jesus Christ chose to die for us when we ourselves were condemning him as humanity, when we ourselves were turning away from the love of God because we wanted our own ideology, our own way of life. Yet Jesus, in the Paschal mystery, was willing to offer himself as expiation for our sins as both priest and victim. As a priest, he offered his total self, and as the victim, he gave himself on the cross for us, enduring all the suffering, all the shame, all the guilt, and all the blame of this world for us. The Paschal mystery continued to be relived in each and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, my brothers and sisters. When we hear the word that Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood," we remember that the Paschal mystery is real. The Paschal mystery is simply a theological term reminding us that just like the Passover lamb that what given up during the rite of the Passover for the Jews, Jesus became this new Passover lamb, not just for one repetitive occasion that done each year. As the Son of God, fully God and fully man, he gave himself once for all to redeem us, to save us, and to pay for our sins. And this Paschal mystery is being given and continued to be enlivened and experienced through what the church called the anamnesis, the real reliving. It's like us being time warped back to 33 AD when Jesus stretched out his hand on the cross to die for us. As well at the Last Supper, when we hear him say, "This is my body, this is my blood given up for you," we experience each and every time we go to Mass. And today, in the Gospel reading, we are being recalled the famous passage of the Emmaus journey, where the two disciples were so downbeaten and distraught. They were sad because they have lost their master, their rabbi, the one whom they respect and have followed. And so they let this sorrow overfill them. And because of what's going on, they become myopic, that they didn't recognize him at first. But remember how patient Jesus was, that he revealed himself to them by opening up the scripture as well in the breaking of the bread. So then we are reminded too that at each and every Eucharist, each and every Mass that we celebrate, Jesus Christ continued to patiently open the scriptures up for us that we hear the first, the responsorial psalm, the second reading, and the gospel reading being given to us. Jesus opened up the scripture for us as he did for the disciples on the Emmaus journey, as well as continued to give himself up for us, but in unbloody term. When we hear the words of the institution, "This is my body, this is my blood given up for you." Jesus Christ dying for us, taking up all the injustice of this world so that we can live, knowing that our suffering, everything that we are going through, our trials, aren't meaningless. Jesus is with us. He understands all the injustice of this world. And therefore, we are not alone in what we think that's going to isolate us and turn us away from God and away from one another. In recent days, I have visited the one of my parishioners who have told me that some of his family members have told him that, well, why do you continue to hold on to life when you suffer so much? Why can you just not let go just let go and die? I think that better or worse, whether this person was really intentional in what he or she was saying, but this seemed to be very insensitive. Perhaps this person is scared of suffering, and that's why he or she imposed this thing like, why don't you just let go? Why do you have to suffer so much? Thinking that it would encourage this person who is embracing suffering for the sake of his family and for the sake of his faith. Yet, this is what we struggle with as a society and as postmodern people. We're scared of suffering. We think that it's a punishment from God and it's something we should avoid at all costs. But we forget that Jesus Christ embraced suffering. And therefore, with the cross and the resurrection and at each every Eucharist, we are being reminded that suffering is no longer meaningless. It is meaningful and redemptive because we can unite our sufferings, our hardships, our trials with Jesus Christ. Well, suffering is not necessarily all good or all evil. It's just a product of some time of a complicated reality, genetically, humanly, physically, or sometimes morally, as a result of what's going on. And suffering hurt, and it's hard. And all the trials we have to go with suffering, and all the injustice that go with it too. But we know that, of course, we can despair and give in and say, I don't want to go through this anymore. I'm just going to give up and take my life, or I'm just going to give up and let myself go. Or we can unite whatever we're going through, whether good or bad, with Jesus Christ, who have united his everything, his Paschal mystery, his Paschal suffering, and his Paschal resurrection for us as expiation for our sins, as priests and victim for us in loving us, giving us an example that, as we have heard in the second reading today, that Jesus Christ, it the sacrificial lamb that take away our sins. My brothers and sisters, this is our faith, that we're not alone. At each and every Mass, in our prayer, Jesus continued to be present with us in the Scripture, in the Eucharist, and we know that no matter what we're going through, Jesus is with us. Do we believe that? And are we allowed ourselves to rise beyond our fears or reservations, the things that hold us back, to unite ourselves to him? Or are we still holding on to what we think should be for us, or we want things to be to hold on to our control? Life isn't going to be always easy, and it's hard at times. But it's not something that we should reject and give up. It's worthwhile to live and to unite ourselves to the love of Christ Jesus. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, for this third Sunday of Easter, I invite you to put yourself in that same situation at the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Downbeaten, distraught, filled with many uncertainty, yet Jesus appeared to us. Are we opening our eyes up to see him? Are we allowing him to reveal himself to us through the scripture, through the Eucharist, at the breaking of the bread? And are we allowing ourselves to be loved by him above all the injustices and suffering of this world? Jesus Christ is with us. And may every time we attend Mass, receive the Eucharist, and especially in our own prayer, we are able to hear how much he loves us, especially in the words of the institution. This is my body. This is my blood, given up for you.